there. Welcome to Following the Truth. My name is Gary Zimek, and I am so blessed to be with you here today. I've got a chair at the table, an open chair ready and reserved for you. I hope you're going to be able to sit down and spend the next 30 minutes with me. I am super excited about the show today because we're going to discuss some great things. You know, I was telling you yesterday, if you tuned into yesterday's program, that this period between Easter Sunday and the what's known as Divine Mercy Sunday or the second Sunday of Easter, there are some of the greatest readings from the daily masses in them. I just love doing these readings. We're going to look at the readings from today's daily mass, which is Wednesday, April the 7th. Some really fascinating and excellent stuff contained here. So really, you know, especially here's the deal. I want this show, if you're a listener to the program, you know that I'm passionate about making Jesus relevant, Jesus and his church relevant to your life, because he wants to be a part of your life. He wants to help you with the struggles. He wants to help you with the uncertainty. He wants to help you to deal with the suffering that we all have to face, right? We're all going to face it. I want to help you to understand just how much Jesus wants to be involved in your life. I want to give you hope because that's what he wants. I want to free you from anxiety, and I want you to be able to experience his peace. And that's why I always ask the Holy Spirit to guide me. That's why I do what I do. That's why I write my daily email reflections. That's why I do this program. That's why I write my books. That's why I speak at churches. He wants to be a part of your life. And my job, my job is to not cough. Pardon me. See, when I get excited, I gotta go for I gotta keep my water handy. My job is to just help you to understand how real he is and how much he wants to be involved in your life. And I'll tell you, once you start to understand that, and look, this is for me, this is an ongoing process that I go through every day. I have to remind myself, I depend on the Holy Spirit, I ask for help, I talk to the Father each day, I talk to Jesus. I ask the Blessed Mother to intercede for me. I mean, there's a set of steps that I go through each day because I don't want you to think that I'm not prone to discouragement, because I am. I don't want you to think that I don't have down days, because I do. But fortunately, because I've accepted Christ into my life, and I'm not implying that you haven't, but I really believe it's a matter of degrees. It's something that we need to do every day. And re-accept him, re-surrender to him every day. And because I've done that, and because I continue to do that, he gives me peace. But I have to do it every day. And the good thing about that, the good thing about the fact that I tend to have an anxious nature, is that I realize how much I need him. And he uses my anxiety to keep me close to him. And you know what? I'm thankful for it. So I said a little bit more than I planned to say, but that's why I always like to let the Spirit lead me. I'm here for you. I'm here to help you to grow, to draw closer to Christ. And I think you're going to see in these readings today, and we're going to hear from the Word of God. I mean, this is solid. This is scripturally sound, because I'm going to give you scripture. We're going to hear why it is, or how easy it is to mess up, how easy it is to lose our focus, but more importantly, how easy it is to regain that focus, to connect with the Lord, and to experience his peace. So that's what we're going to talk about on the program today. I hope you are doing well. Hope it's as nice where you are as it is here. Boy, here in southern New Jersey, it's beautiful today. What an incredibly beautiful day. It started out as being overcast. We had a little rain this morning, but man, the sun is out now. It is a beautiful day. And happy Easter, right? Let's keep this going. We celebrate Easter for 50 days, but in particular, this what's known as the octave of Easter, between Easter Sunday and Divine Mercy Sunday, which is this coming Sunday. This is a special period. This is when we really put a super duper emphasis on Easter. There I go, getting theologically deep again. But this is like each one of these days is a mini Easter. In addition to celebrating Easter for 50 days, because the Easter season lasts, we really hit it hard during this week. So let's really focus on that. And the readings really touch on that great occasion when the Lord rose from the dead. So here's what we're going to do. Let's talk to our Father in heaven right now. And then we'll continue on with the show. Before we start, I'm getting my thoughts together. Before we start, I just want to remind you that the Father is with you right now. We're going to talk to an always present God. He's omnipresent. He's present everywhere. Therefore, he's present with you. He's present with me. And sometimes we think like, well, this is weird. I can't see him. Exactly. You're not supposed to see him. Because God the Father is pure spirit, meaning that he doesn't have a physical body. He's spirit. So as you look around, this is going to get really strange, but listen, bear with me. This makes sense. Trust me. Look around you. Do you see him? Perfect. That means you see him exactly the way he is. He's spirit. You can't see his body, but as you breathe in the air around you, just imagine that to be your Father in heaven, because he's everywhere. That's the incredible thing about God. It's a little hard to get used to the concept, but once you start feeling it, once you start believing that he's invisible, so you're not supposed to see flesh, right? Once you start accepting that about God the Father, it begins to make more sense. So let's pray to him now, knowing that he is with us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Boy, Father, I hope you understand. I hope I'm doing you justice. But it's hard for us as humans to picture you because you're perfect, because you're so much bigger than we are. But in our small, finite way, you allow us to be able to grasp a little bit of who you are and how powerful you are. And Father, you are all-powerful. You are almighty. You are all-loving. You are with us wherever we go. You love us unconditionally. And you can handle any situation or difficulty that we will ever face in this world. And therefore, it's with great confidence that we can turn to you. You know, you love us. You can handle anything. You're all powerful. That's a great combination. And for you to be our Father, what an incredible opportunity. What a gift. What a gift. So we come to you with confidence, Father. First, we want to praise you and tell you, even though you don't need to hear this because you know this, but we need to tell you how great you are. You created the universe out of nothing. You created us out of nothing. You love us unconditionally. Father, you never change. There is not one incident that catches you by surprise. You see the future, the past, and the present as one. Our minds have a hard time figuring that out. But that's okay, because that's not our job. Our job is to turn to you, to worship you, to praise you, to give you all the glory, Father, and to thank you for adopting us as your sons and daughters. Father, thank you for blessing us with a new day of life. Thank you for all that you do for us. Thank you for being present with us now. Father, we ask you to accept our needs. Look with favor on our family and our friends today. Grant them your blessing. Keep them safe from any dangers. Accept all of our intentions, Father. And please grant them if they are in accord with your will. If not, Father, we're going to trust that you will answer in the best way possible. We believe that you will answer in the way that helps us the most to encounter you in this life and to be able to live with you in heaven. We understand that all of the suffering, all the difficulties that we do experience in this life are designed to keep us close to you and to enable us to reach our heavenly home. It's hard because we don't like suffering, but we do understand, Father, that it's important. So we're going to trust you. We're going to surrender to you. And Father, I ask you to pour out your spirit on me today. You know, this show is your show. This is not my show. And I want to say what you want me to say. So please give me the words, inspire all of my thoughts and words for the duration of this program. And please open all of our minds and our hearts to be receptive to whatever it is that you have to say. Father in heaven, we ask this in the most holy and sacred name of Jesus Christ, your Son and our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God forever and ever. And all God's people said, that's right, amen. Thank you so much for praying with me. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. I get excited. I get excited when I pray sometimes. I'm feeling it today, and I feel your presence with me. So thank you for listening. Thanks for being a part of this show. My name is Gary Zimak. This is Following the Truth. If you want to find out more information about my work, about my books, about where to get my latest book, Give Up Worry for Good, if you want to find out more about my newsletter, my daily email reflection, Let Not Your Heart Be Troubled, the place to go is followingthetruth.com. If you want to bring me out to speak, that's another thing. I'm starting to get inquiries again. It's been too long since I've been on the road, so I'm really blessed to be able to start having the conversation with churches, with conferences, to say, all right, let's make this happen so I can come out to talk, because everything has been shut down. So if you want to contact me to bring me in to speak, followingthetruth.com is the place to go. All right, so we are at today's show focuses on Wednesday of the octave of Easter. So we're like right in the middle of this octave of Easter. And I want to read the Mass readings because they're so good. Throughout the Easter season, the first reading from daily Mass is going to be taken from the Acts of the Apostles. We're literally going through the Acts of the Apostles, which is an insight, a glimpse of what the early church looked like, so we can get an idea. Well, what was the church like, the church founded by Christ? Well, this is what the church looked like, and some amazing things went on in the early church. We'll continue that this week, today, as well as throughout Easter, and then the gospel. Today, we're going to focus on Luke's account of the road to Emmaus, one of my favorite stories. You know, when I was reading this gospel this morning, something jumped out at me that I never thought about before. And that's what I love about reading scripture and asking the Holy Spirit to help as we read it, because you're going to see things that you may have never noticed before, and that's the way it is. Because literally, God is speaking to you through these scriptures, and the Spirit, which dwells in us, He's helping us to interpret or to really hear the Lord. So I'll share that with you. But first, let's start out with the first reading. It's from the Acts of the Apostles. It's chapter 3, verses 1 through 10. Peter and John were going up to the temple area for the 3 o'clock hour of prayer. And a man crippled from birth was carried and placed at the gate of the temple called the Beautiful Gate every day to beg for alms from the people who entered the temple. When he saw Peter and John about to go into the temple, he asked for alms. But Peter looked intently at him, as did John, and said, "Look at us." He paid attention to them, expecting to receive something from them. Peter said, "I have neither silver nor gold, but what I do have, I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ, the Nazarene, rise and walk." Then Peter took him by the right hand and raised him up, and immediately his feet and his ankles grew strong. He leaped up, stood, and walked around, and went into the temple with them, walking and jumping and praising God. When all the people saw him walking and praising God, they recognized him as the one who used to sit at the beautiful gate of the temple, and they were filled with amazement and astonishment at what had happened to him. Now, how's that for an amazing story? And, you know, as you read these stories of miraculous events that took place in the early years of the church, I want you to remember something. There is a tendency that we may have to underestimate the power of the Lord, to underestimate the power of the Holy Spirit working in us, and to say, well, that was then, this is now. Those kind of things don't happen anymore. Who says, right? My philosophy is, if you need something, or if you or somebody you love is in need of a healing, pray for them to be healed. Give God a chance to work through you. Give him a chance to perform a miracle. Those things do happen. I have seen them. And I bet you have too. And there's documented stories of miraculous healings and divine intervention in the lives of people. I think sometimes we have become complacent as Christians. And we don't expect the miraculous. Why not? We should. Now, what's happening here is really great, because Peter and John, two of the apostles, they're going to the temple area for the regular hour of prayer, the 3 o'clock hour of prayer. So this man, crippled from birth, is sitting at the gate begging for alms. And when he saw Peter and John, he asked for alms, for money. He never thought to ask for a healing, because he was, short-sighted, as many of us are, And he just wanted money. And he accepted the fact that his condition was permanent. Maybe he never encountered somebody who offered to pray for healing for him. Maybe it just was never in his mind that God could heal him. But he paid attention to them after Peter said, "Look at us." And he wanted to receive. He thought they were going to give him something. He didn't expect what happened. Peter said, "I don't have any money. But what I do have, I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ, rise and walk." You and me, we have the power. If it's granted to us by the Lord, you know, healings come from the Lord. Now, the gift of healing, it is documented many people seem to have a gift of healing. Many other people seem to have been given the gift once, twice, every now and then. All healing comes from the Lord. So it's not something we should consider a gift to belong to us. It's not necessarily a permanent gift, but it's a gift that we as Christians should try to exercise. You know, if you know somebody who's sick, pray for their healing. Pray with them. Who's to say that the Lord is not going to grant a healing? We have to understand, though, that all healings are temporary. And healings are used for a greater purpose. Many times, the Lord will heal us or heal others through us, through our prayers. But there's always a bigger reason, whether it's to increase our faith, to increase the faith of the person who's being healed, to allow the person being healed to do some good work for the church, or whatever the reason is. God's got a bigger picture. He doesn't just heal for the sake of healing. But I recommend highly that you pray for anyone who is sick, anyone who needs a healing of any kind, emotional or physical, or spiritual for that matter, and give the Lord a chance to work. The responsorial psalm is Psalm 105, "Rejoice, O hearts that seek the Lord. Give thanks to the Lord, invoke his name, make known among the nations his deeds. Sing to him, sing his praise, proclaim all his wondrous deeds." You know, do you do that? Do you proclaim the good deeds that the Lord has done in your life? It's a good thing to start doing that. Even if, you know, start in private. Certainly it's a good idea to do it in public, but to let people know, hey, the Lord really helped me. Just look for the doors. Look for the open doors. There are times when proclaiming the gospel is going to turn people off. You've got to choose your moments. You've got to know when to say it. But there are also times when somebody might be hurting, when you're telling your story and you're saying, boy, I used to really worry. I used to be very much anxious. And then the Lord has healed me. God's healed me. He's really helped me. Let me tell you something. That's a very attractive witness. Glory in his holy name. Rejoice, O hearts that seek the Lord. Look to the Lord in his strength. Seek to serve him constantly. You descendants of Abraham, his servants, sons of Jacob, his chosen ones. He, the Lord, is our God. Throughout the earth, his judgments prevail. He remembers forever his covenant, which he made binding for 1,000 generations, which he entered into with Abraham and by his oath to Isaac. Now you see, in this example from the Acts of the Apostles that we saw in our first reading, Jesus had already died, risen from the dead, and ascended into heaven. So this is after he is no longer walking on the face of the earth, but he entrusts his mission of healing, of sharing the good news to us. So what Peter and John were doing was really sharing the good news, sharing the gospel with an individual who very much needed to be healed, who very much needed to have an encounter with Jesus Christ. But he never thought it was possible. He's just accepting, like, I'm just going to sit and beg for money. But they had something even better to give him. And by the way, getting back to that first reading, what did the man do? He leaped up, he stood and walked around, and he went into the temple with them. This guy was healed through the power of Jesus Christ. And he went walking and jumping and praising God into the temple. I mean, you talk about an effective witness. So whatever God has done for you, take that advice that we just read from the psalm. Look to the Lord in his strength. And when he heals you, when he comforts you, he might not even heal you physically, but maybe he'll just heal you emotionally, give you the strength to deal with your affliction. Then seek to serve him constantly. How, Lord, can I serve you? By serving other people. You know, he has healed me. Jesus Christ has healed me of my tendency to be anxious, of my tendency to be a worrier. And he's given me peace. And I'm out there sharing with you. I'm traveling. I'm writing. Because how can I not share what the Lord has done for me? You know, I didn't deserve to be healed. I didn't deserve anything. I don't deserve the blessings I've gotten. But that's what I want to share. And that's what I recommend that you do too. If the Lord has been good to you, please let people know. Let's look at the gospel now. It's from Luke chapter 24, the very tail end of Luke's gospel, verses 13 through 35. That very day, and this is the day that Jesus rose from the dead, the first day of the week, two of Jesus' disciples were going to a village 7 miles from Jerusalem called Emmaus, and they were conversing about all the things that had occurred. And it happened that while they were conversing and debating, Jesus himself drew near and walked with them, but their eyes were prevented from recognizing him. Now, these guys are walking. They're journeying to Emmaus, which is a village that has never been able to be exactly pinpointed. We know that it's 7 miles from Jerusalem, but is it north, south, east, or west? Nobody's ever been able to conclusively determine. But these guys were talking, and these are disciples, followers of Jesus. And they're talking about what had happened, the crucifixion of Jesus. And while they're talking, Jesus joins them, and he's with them, but they don't know it. Does that sound familiar? Look around. Do you see Jesus? I guarantee he's with you spiritually right now. See, we do this. We do the same thing. And Jesus starts to kind of play with around with them. And one of the great things about this, obviously he knows what they're talking about, but by him saying what he says, you and me, get some insight into their minds, what they were thinking, and now it's recorded in the scripture. So I think this is great that this gives us an idea of what's happening. He asked them, "What are you discussing as you walk along?" They stopped, looking downcast. So this gives you an idea. They were discouraged. These guys were kind of depressed about what had happened, even though Jesus had risen from the dead and he was actually with them, but they were depressed. They stopped, and one of them, named Cleopas, said to him in reply, "Are you the only visitor to Jerusalem who does not know of the things that have taken place there in these days?" I mean, you talk about cringeworthy here. These guys are saying to Jesus, the risen Jesus, "Hey, dummy, don't you know what's going on? Are you the only person who doesn't know that our Savior was put to death?" Can you imagine? Glad I'm not one of these guys. And he replied to them, and I love this, Jesus is really just trying to draw this out of them. "What sort of things?" They said to him, "The things that happened to Jesus the Nazarene, who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, how our chief priests and rulers both handed him over to a sentence of death and crucified him." Now listen to this. We're getting some insight into where these guys are thinking, how their thoughts are going. And I'll tell you, it's not good. They're not in a good place. They told Jesus, "But we were hoping that he would be the one to redeem Israel. And besides all this, it is now the third day since this took place." So they know, I mean, look, they're his followers. They should know that Jesus said that he had to die and he would rise from the dead on the third day. But they're not buying it. Now, here's the part that I never really noticed before. This tells you what these guys know. "Some women from our group, however, have astounded us. They were at the tomb early in the morning and they did not find his body. They came back and reported they had indeed seen a vision of angels who announced that he was alive." So these guys are not completely clueless. The women who went to the tomb encountered angels who said, "He's not in the tomb because he rose. He is alive." And it gets worse. The disciples say to Jesus, "Then some of those with us went to the tomb and found things just as the women had described, but him they did not see." So in other words, these guys are looking at the evidence. They don't see the body. They don't actually see Jesus standing, jumping around at the tomb, and they just automatically assume that everything's a disaster. But in reality, what if their faith was strong enough that they looked at the empty tomb and they said, well, of course it's empty. He said he would rise from the dead. But you see what happened? They looked at something very good and they let their mind assume the worst case scenario. That's what we do all the time, don't we? And what happened? Jesus said to them, oh, how foolish you are. How slow of heart to believe all the prophets spoke. Was it not necessary that the Christ should suffer these things and enter into his glory? So in other words, Jesus is reminding them, you know, guys, you're supposed to be a disciple, and they still don't know it's Jesus. But then, beginning with Moses and the prophets, he interpreted to them what referred to him in all the scriptures. As they approached the village to which they were going, he gave the impression that he was going on farther, but they urged him, stay with us, for it's nearly evening, and the day is almost over. So he went in to stay with them. And it happened that while he was with them at table, he took bread, said the blessing, broke it, and gave it to them. With that, their eyes were opened, and they recognized him. But he vanished from their sight. Then they said to each other, were not our hearts burning within us while he spoke to us on the way and opened the scriptures to us? So they set out at once and returned to Jerusalem, where they found gathered together the 11 and those with them, who were saying, the Lord has truly been raised and has appeared to Simon. Then the two recounted what had taken place on the way and how he was made known to them in the breaking of the bread. Now, just have a couple seconds left here, but what's happening sounds very familiar to what we see at Mass, right? The scriptures being unpacked and also the bread being blessed, broken, blessed, and shared. So, as I close out this program, here's what I want you to remember. These guys didn't get it. They missed the point. But what did Jesus do? He reached out to them and he encountered them where they were. He reached out to them in a very special way. As Catholics, we are blessed that the Lord appears to us in the sacrament of the Eucharist and all of the sacraments, and also through the scriptures. If you're doubting, if you're not feeling it today, make sure you take advantage of this great gift, the Mass, the Bible. You know, and let the Lord reach you in that same way. I gotta run, but I just want you to know he is alive. God bless you. Talk to you tomorrow.